If you got your Bibles open to 1 Peter 3, I want us to look at verse 18. Look at one verse of Scripture this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Here we read, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." The title of the message is taken from these first few words in our text: "For Christ also hath once suffered." Christ also has once suffered. Now, as I look around this morning, I thought about this in preparing this message. Who would be sitting here this morning? And I thought about this thing of suffering. And I can't think of anyone in this congregation that's not a stranger to suffering. In some form or fashion, in some shape or form, every one of us are acquainted with suffering, which should be no surprise. Our Lord said, "In this world, you'll have tribulation, you'll have trouble, you'll have suffering." But here in our text, we read of Christ's suffering. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ suffering. And Peter makes much of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we read, "Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." In chapter 2, in verse 21, he said, "For even hereunto you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." In chapter 4, verse 1, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." And then again in 1 Peter, in chapter 5, verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be." Again, Peter, just in this first epistle, he made much of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for a few minutes here this morning in our Bible study, let's look at this. Let's look at the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have your Bible open to 1 Peter. Look again at chapter 3, verse 18. The first thing we see here: "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins." Christ hath also once suffered. We read he suffered. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man, he who being in the form of God thought it not robbery, thought it not a thing to be grasped at, to be equal with God. The Lord Jesus Christ also hath once suffered. Just a few things. Consider his suffering in being made a man. Almighty God taking on human flesh. Consider his lowly birth. His lowly birth. There was no room anywhere else for him but in that barn. He was born in a stable. He suffered temptation. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered temptation. He was in all points tempted, like we are, yet without sin. He suffered hunger. He suffered thirst. He suffered weariness. In Matthew 8, our Lord spoke in verse 20. He said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He was despised and rejected of men. Turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Before our Lord was betrayed by Judas, he was in the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And then look here at verse 40. It says, when he was at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." And when he was withdrawn from them, about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and he prayed, and he said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, oh, how he suffered. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, the very sweat that came from his body, was that were great drops of blood falling to the ground. How he suffered. He was falsely accused. He was bruised. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was spat upon. And then he was fastened to the cross. He was nailed to the cross, mocked and scorned by common men, by those thieves on each side of him that mocked and scorned him, mocked by the crowd that gathered around that day, the chief priests, the scribes, the rulers, those who were, allegedly in charge that day. And they said this, they said, "He saved others. He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. He saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." How he suffered. How the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. How he suffered when all the sins of all his people were laid on him. He was made, we read he was made sin. And there in the ninth hour, he cried with a loud voice. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And he yielded up the ghost. Christ hath once suffered. Is it nothing? Is it nothing? Is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. As no man has ever suffered like the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Is it nothing?" Isn't that a question we could ask this very day? Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? A day like today, a day full of religious activity, a day of foolishness, a day when children are singing cantatas and men are draping purple towels around a couple pieces of treated 4x4 and sticking them out in the out in the yard. Is it nothing? Is it nothing to you? I read in the paper, I think, one of those things I read, I wished I hadn't even read it, about a group that had, they had built a cross and they had carried it 2 or 3 miles, and they said the reason they did that is they wanted to identify in some way with the Lord's suffering. Is it nothing? Were they spat upon? Were they mocked? Were they scourged? Is it nothing? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Has any man suffered? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like my sorrow, which is done unto me. Almighty God slew his Son on the cross for the sins of his people. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered. He suffered for sin. So here we see he suffered. Next, we see he once. He once suffered. He once suffered. He made one sacrifice for sin. Paul said this writing to the Hebrews. And he spoke of those Old Testament priests, and he said they stood daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices over and over again, which could never take away sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, one sacrifice for sin. One sacrifice for sin forever, and he sat down on the right hand of God. His work being complete. Those priests, they stood daily. They never sat down because that sacrifice, it was a continual thing. It was a picture. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he made one sacrifice for sin forever, and he sat down. He sat down. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One sacrifice forever, and he sat down on the right hand of God. His work complete. His work finished. That's what he cried out on the cross. He said, it's finished. One sacrifice for sin. Why can't man be satisfied with that? God is. God's satisfied with his sacrifice for sin, but yet man continually tries to add to it. One sacrifice for sin. His sacrifice accepted. His work completed. His work finished. His people sanctified. Our sin pardoned. By one sacrifice, he accomplished that which he came to do. He completely cleansed and perfected, made holy all that had been given to him by the Father. Once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered. He suffered once. And he suffered once, we read it there, for sin. He suffered once for sin. The wages of sin is death. Turn to Isaiah 53. He suffered, he died for sin, but he had no sin. Look at Isaiah 53. Look, beginning with verse 3. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He suffered and died once for our sins, the sins of his people. I remember Henry used to say, if you really want to get a feel for that verse, go through there and put your name. Put your name in there. He suffered for me. He suffered for my sin. For he, Almighty God, hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. The work of God the Father. He suffered once for sin. Back to our text, 1 Peter 3, again with verse 18. For Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. The Lord Jesus Christ, the holy and just one, holy in his nature, righteous in his works. He was referred to in Isaiah 53 as God's righteous servant. He's holy, he's just, he's righteous. We read, he suffered. Not only by unjust men and the Jews and Pilate and the Roman soldiers, but he suffered in the room instead of his people. He suffered in the room instead of unjust men, of sinners, ungodly, who were destitute of righteousness and full of unrighteousness. He suffered in our room instead. He suffered there for his people. He died for his sheep. You notice the scripture doesn't say he died to make salvation possible for all. It says this, he died the just for the unjust. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He, by himself, purged our sins. We're sanctified. Sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us of all sin. It's been put away. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, it says here, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. He died the just for the unjust. Why? He died to satisfy God's holy law. He died for the sins of his people. Why did Christ die on the cross? Why did he suffer? Why did he suffer for our sin? Why did he die the just for the unjust? Look at our text. That he might bring us to God. Listen for a minute and consider what we've just read. For Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God. Isn't that what Job said? I was thinking about it. Isn't that what Job said? Look, turn back to Job 19. And think about this while you're turning there. Who did that work? Huh? That he might bring us to God. This is his work. But Job 19. Look at Job 19, beginning with verse 23. Job said, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Who I shall," look at verse 27, "who I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Job spoke of a Redeemer. This Redeemer that's God in human flesh. A living Redeemer. He said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand at the latter day." You know, only a living Savior can save a dead sinner. And he's not just a Redeemer. Job said, "He's my Redeemer. He's my Redeemer." A Redeemer that's revealed to his people. Job said, "I know this." By faith, he saw Christ afar off. He said, "I know." And Job had confidence, didn't he? In this, not in himself, in his Redeemer. He said, "The worms destroy this body. I shall see God." Christ suffered. He died once to sin. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I mean, put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Turn with me to one more passage of Scripture here. Jude 24:25. We'll close with this. Jude 24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, ever stop and consider that? He's going to present us. Did you look in the mirror this morning? He's going to present us. How? Faultless. Faultless, not just to somebody new we just met, but faultless in the presence of God. God who can't look upon sin. Faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Amen." How can a sinful man like you or I stand before a holy God? For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, just for the unjust, he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, quickly. God be pleased to bless his word.